You guys can come on in. Sharon had her surgery today and come through just fine. As a matter of fact, I think a little bit better than anticipated. There wasn't quite as much damage as they thought, and so you might keep Sharon in your prayers. She was awfully nervous about that surgery before she had it, so a prayer of thanksgiving definitely for that. So Ron is home taking care of Sharon, and that's a good thing. So, oh yeah, he's still at the hospital taking care of her. She won't come home till tomorrow. About miss that. Thanks. She had, it was supposed to have been a rotator cuff surgery, but it ended up just being maybe a muscle on the outside, a tear in it or something. So that's a pretty good, a pretty big difference in the type of surgery, I think. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
About 2 hours. It was about 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, they said it'd be 3 hours long, just over an hour.
Considerably less. So we're grateful for that. Tonight, the discussion, as I understand it, is supposed to be that of the fruits of the Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and tonight we're going to be talking specifically about the fruits of the Spirit. So I've come up with something. I hope you enjoy it. Sometimes I get a little elaborate. I don't know when to quit, but we'll see how this works. What is a fruit? Don't look at me. Not a fruit. What's a fruit?
It's something of nourishment, of food,
something of nourishment, something for food, something that what gives life? It's not a vegetable. That's a pretty good one.
In the plant world, it is the part of the plant which causes the reproduction of that plant.
Sounds good to me. Did you hear that? In the plant world, it's the part of the plant that causes the what?
Reproduction of the plant.
Okay.
And that this is not specifying between fruit and vegetable. Vegetables have a fruit, and that's the seed.
I'm not saying any of these are wrong. Anyone else have a comment? We all know what fruit is. We eat them, right?
Typically, if you think of fruit as opposed to vegetable, fruit has seeds in the middle.
That kind of gets what he's talking about, the fruit has seeds.
That fruit is by a lively tree.
The what?
Something that's produced by a lively tree.
Something that is produced by a lively tree. We're getting closer.
The part of the plant or tree that is usable?
Yeah, yes. Consumable, usable.
Yeah, it keeps things going. As well as like what they mentioned.
So I sense that y'all are feeling just as crazy as I did when I did figured out that I needed to define what a fruit was. Carol, do you have your hand up? No? She's staying out of the fruit conversation. Per the Greek, we're talking about the word fruit and Galatians chapter 5, in case you're not there, that's where we'll be going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit is that which is plucked, that which is produced from the tree. So we're talking about production, so it has to do with yield, and we live in farm country, don't we? It has to do with the result of something planted, literally or figuratively. Now, I want y'all to just go along with me on this. I love to do this, and people hate it sometimes. This is not a trick question. If you plant corn, what are you going to get?
Corn.
Okay. If you plant squash, Blake, what are you going to get?
Squash.
Let me take this one step further. If you plant onions, what are you going to get? Okay. So whatever seed you plant, that's what you're going to get as far as a fruit or a product of that plant, right? Okay. Oh, no, we're... No, you hold that comment for here in just a little bit. Don't get ahead of me. So here's another question. How can you tell for sure what kind of tree that you're looking at? Here's what we're going to do. Same thing, both sides. You pass that back. I want you to identify these leaves, please. When you know one or think you know it, shout it out, okay? We're a humble bunch.
Let me see its fruits.
If you know any of those leaves from top to bottom, it says top over. We got to smell them. She's smelling them. That's a good way to do it. That's all right.
I think it was
Is the three-leafed one apple? Okay, we have a guess for the three-leaf to be an apple. Okay, that's one guess.
Maple is for the first one.
Maple, we got a maple.
Second one was cottonwood.
Okay, cottonwood, apple, and maple.
I think so. I don't
know if we can measure. Okay. Well, keep passing them back because you know what? You're going to get the whole lesson in this little package. Okay, now, how many of you grew up out in the country? Raise your hands. Okay, more on the side. Okay. Here is a sample of bark. Now, you folks are more countryfied than these folks. So I'm going to pass this back, and when you recognize the bark for the tree that it goes on, I want you to just shout it out, okay? Nobody's shouting out about the leaves. Are we running into difficulty here? We had a little puddle of stimulated thought up here. Maple. I'm running the class. You wait. Okay, so on this whole... No, you just... well, here, I'll take that back so I can have an example. Thanks, sir. Cottonwood tree, we have a guess. Cottonwood tree.
That last one. That's the cottonwood. No, where did this come from? I think this is elm.
I like this example. Okay, I've not heard any. I've heard a cottonwood tree. Y'all, Carol, Brenda, y'all have anybody guessing about the leaves on this side? You guys are outdoors people compared to this side. Maple tree. Okay. And did I hear any others?
They're just green.
Green leaves. Like, what? Who? An oak? Okay. Any more on the bark? We have one cottonwood, right? here's what these are not. I don't have a maple tree in my yard. I don't have an apple tree in my yard. I do have a cottonwood in my yard. I have no clue what these are. That's the truth. Now, where's the bark? I have no clue what those bark are. Okay? Glenn, catch this, buddy. What kind of tree did that come from? Sam, what kind of tree did that come from?
Yellow tree.
That right here first.
An apple tree.
Are you sure?
It comes from an apple.
Now, are you positive? Let me see that. Ward, can you catch this? What kind of tree did that come from?
An apple tree.
Yeah.
Pear tree.
An apple tree, huh? Blake, what kind of tree did that come from?
Probably an apple tree.
An apple tree. Here, toss that back, buddy.
Yeah.
Catherine, what kind of tree did that come from?
Yeah.
So we have 100% of you saying that this came from an apple tree. Sam, where did that come from?
No doubt this came from a lemon tree. No doubt.
Jason? Where'd that come from?
I'm going to say a lemon tree.
Oh. Carol Dimer? Where'd that come from? What kind of tree? A lemon tree? Really?
No, well, probably didn't. Probably came from a store.
Stick with your first answer. Aaron Bradbarth? What kind of tree did that come from?
Lemon tree.
Carol Sokolon? What kind of tree did that come from? Now, how could we all know that? Y'all had no clues. Where's the bark? Back at the back. But when I showed you the fruit, not only did you guess, but I haven't even seen the trees these come off of, but I know you're right. How do I know? Because a lemon tree does not produce an apple. Now, hoping that we don't have any graphing people in here. And I know, even though I didn't see this tree, I know it didn't come off a rose bush. Because rose bushes don't produce lemons, right? Well, guess what? You got the entire point of the sermon. If anybody needs an apple, I've got one. I have to go wash it. Matthew chapter... Yes, Donna.
I have a question about verse 5:1. It says that good fruit cannot come from a bad tree. Are they referring to a tree?
Let's talk about that in just a second. I'm kind of headed in that direction. And one of the verses, that's in Matthew chapter 7, by the way. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 says, for the tree is known by its leaves, bark, fruit. What it produces, right? That's how we identify a tree by its fruit. If I am a tree without God in my life, what kind of fruit is going to grow on my branches? Help me out here. I'm a tree.
Zero
fruit.
What? Zero.
Fruit of the flesh. You say zero fruit. We're headed down the same path, even though that seemed contradictory. What kind of fruit?
Evil fruit.
Huh? Evil fruit?
Bad fruit.
Bad fruit? Nor no fruit at all. There's two no fruits. Yep.
It could be imitated fruit.
Oh, might know what you're saying. Go ahead and explain that for us.
Some people there.
Artificial? Is that what you're saying?
It looks like the real thing.
How many of you have ever went to your grandma and grandpa's and she, grandma had that bowl of fruit out there? And
yeah.
Man, you little kid, and oh no, that's wax.
Tell them a wax tree.
And I fell right into that. Let's think about this for just a minute. If I am an ungodly tree, I do produce things from my life. I'm going to have my accomplishments hanging down in juicy morsels. They're going to be fruit. Then I'm going to have my desires, my abilities, my direction, all those things are going to form fruit in my life. But they're ungodly fruit, right? Now, if I am a godly person, what kind of fruit is going to be hanging on my branches? Nourishing fruit. And as Jay read, and all of us know about the fruit of the Spirit, we sing the song, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But I want to encourage you to do something. The body, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, it produces certain kinds of fruit on our branches. If the Holy Spirit's not inside of us, there will be other kinds of fruit on our branches. We might need to be examining our branches, huh? Seeing what kind of fruit is in our lives. Because we want to make sure that we have the fruit of God in our lives. So, what is the fruit of God? Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Man, y'all like to eat good fruit? Man, it smells good, you know, man, it's really just good. How about some good fruit in your life to savor? Someone said nourishing. Oh my. Let's talk about these fruit. That's what I've got planned for this evening, to talk about these fruit. And when we get done, we're done. So if you have something you want to say, chime in, Brenda.
Well, Sam's kind of just got me thinking here about like artificial or imitation fruit. You know, I'm thinking there are some people that, you know, don't have Christ in their life, but they produce some of these same fruits. You know, there are really good people out there. And so I'm trying to relate how that works with these fruits of the Spirit. And I guess the only thing it comes down to, somebody can, you know, be full of patience or goodness and gentleness. But it then comes down to is who is it glorifying?
I asked myself the same question while I was studying earlier today, because that is true. There are people out in the world who have some of these characteristics in their life who may not be Christians. Well, I understand that all mankind is made in the image of God, and to some extent, since we're made in His image, we have some of these characteristics. But these characteristics may be put together, form a total package. You see what I'm saying? That really identifies a Christian. I think that's where I come with it in my guesstimate, Donna.
A lot of times it seems that the world prefers the artificial fruit, and the real fruit is there in front of them. By the Christ, they get to Him, they want to destroy, they want to prove that it's false.
Let's come back to that in just a second, Glenn.
Just thinking about Brent's comments there. I think that's it. There are people out there that have patience.
there I've known people that didn't know God. But I think the difference would be is if you're a patient person, if you were to ask you where that patience comes from and the reason for it, you wouldn't say, well, I'm just a pretty good guy, I'm just a patient person. You would say that there's only one reason that I have patience, and that's because of God. And where another person that may have had patience but didn't know God or didn't accept God, didn't believe in God, they might be somewhat patient, but they don't give the credit where it really belongs, and that's with God.
So is it possible that while the Holy Spirit is working in a non-Christian's life, that they might have some effects of the Spirit in his life while the Holy Spirit's working on them? Because those are fruit of the Spirit. Those are a result of the Spirit. And the Spirit is working on everybody, to bring them to repentance. And the Holy Spirit acts in convicting people. We read that in the New Testament, so we understand that the Holy Spirit's working on everybody.
We're all created in God's image.
I want to come back to your question here. Remind me if I forget about the wax fruit. Okay.
I was just going to say, along with Randy's comment as well, the results or the results of a patient person who's not a Christian, as we already said, it's not going to glorify God because the glory is given to him, but also the results are not good. You know, may not, we don't know that for sure, somewhere down the road, the results may glorify God somewhere, but the results aren't going to be for his kingdom as necessarily as they are as a Christian.
No, that's absolutely true.
There
is a lot of different levels, and that's why I said initially that I think this is a package deal. When you put all of these fruits together, I think it paints generally a portrait of a person affected by the Lord, affected by the Holy Spirit. Okay? About the wax fruit, have you ever been tempted to hang a wax apple off your tree? Now I'm using that as a metaphor or a... How would we do that? We walk in the church building back there, and you know what all of you say when you pass me on Sunday? I want you to know that I don't feel obligated to go hold the door open for you. I enjoy that. It's like the best part of my day. I just enjoy being there and shaking your hands. And you know what all of you say? I say, how you doing? Oh, good. And later I find out you're not doing good. You're hanging fake fruit out there. You see, you do that, don't you? We all kind of do that at different points in our life. We got to be careful about that, don't we? We got to be really careful about that.
I think sometimes though it's a little bit of confusion or conflict within us, because we're also it's also suggested that we not be complainers. And so we don't want to complain about things that are not good enough in our life.
It's also could be that it's just not the time to talk about it.
Right. And then that is too, but I just made a generalization.
If it's not the time and you never come, then you're hanging closer.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're not counting our blessings.
Carol?
I think we need to be very careful how we act.
Oh boy, that's the flip side of it.
You know,
how's it going? I ain't wanting to hear the whole answer. I'm wanting you to say, good.
Because if I
do that too,
this may miss a couple Sundays, I'm really concerned, and that's why I've always been asking, are you really okay? You know, otherwise I'll just maybe say hi. Is it a nice day or something? I try not to always ask that question online, because sometimes there's been days when I walk in there and I really do want to answer that question.
Yeah.
So I guess when you ask the question, you gotta make sure you want to hear the answer.
Yep, that's right. That's true. So now, as far as the fruits of the Spirit, I'm going to list them off in order, and we'll talk about them a little bit, and we're going to understand that they are the product of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the first one is love. And we've talked so much about love, and love is, well, it's a central theme in the Scripture, but the word here is agape. Agape. But before I tell you, I want you to tell me what love means to you. Donna?
Most important is that I can love my enemy. Christ said, it is easy to love those who love you, but when you can love your enemy, and you are loving me. And I think in the end, to love those that have been bad or done something to me, for example, if you see them for me one day, the next day they're on their enemy. That's for Christ.
So I hear you saying that love is a love that steps outside of itself. Unconditional. Okay. Someone else?
Seeking the other person's betterment.
Seeking the other person's betterment?
Over yourself.
Sam?
This church is love.
Oh, isn't that nice to hear? This church is love.
When I moved here from Oskaloosa, I was about one step away from just leaving the body of Christ completely. And this church is responsible for my soul still being in Christ. And that was the love that was here. That's all there is to it.
Did you hear that? Exciting. Thanks for telling us about that. And here's someone else saying they agree. They've kind of felt kind of about the same way.
This church is healed of a lot of wounds and you go through the night.
So church is healing. Love is healing, I'm hearing.
This church is the only reason that I really don't want to leave this area. Or the reason that I'm not indifferent about where I go.
And love is the reason we don't want you to leave.
I would call it tolerance. Maybe.
For those patients.
That's his words, not ours. Yeah, Donna told me today she was getting ready to leave, and we had a little bit of talk about brotherly love, and she decided it was time to stay.
It's the church.
The church, the brotherly love. We share that love with it. We care about each other, don't we?
But love is selfless.
Love is selfless. Everything you're talking about is describing the word agape. Can you think of any New Testament example? Shall we say, Jesus? God is love. Agape is affection or benevolence, specifically a love feast. That's why we're building a fellowship hall, so we can have a love feast. Isn't it great that we have each other? You know what? I couldn't make it without y'all. Y'all have helped heal my hurts with my dad dying. You've wrapped your arms around us and you love us and you care about us. What an awesome thing that is. Well, guess what? That love doesn't come from you. That love is a product of the
Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit inside of us. That is a fruit of the Spirit. It's also another hand.
Another part of love is loving. It goes along with God's favor. Loving someone, loving each other, even though we have our faults, but still being here for each other. Overlooking the faults and accepting them and loving them just because they're perfect already.
Kind of to that unconditional love, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. Y'all help look loving ourselves too.
That's the hardest thing.
Something we struggle with sometimes. I need volunteers. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Alicia. Romans 12. I'm not too long. Colossians 3, 14. Listen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And Jay. 1 John 4, 7 to 13. You make sure and go last, okay? Anybody else in any other order. These are all talking about love. And in Galatians chapter 5, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit as an explicit thing. It's stated directly. In these passages, it's more implicit, it's more implied, but the same effect. So, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love.
Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, does not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account the wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Colossians 3:14.
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
The bond of perfection. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 23.
Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall.
Love one another deeply. Is there such a thing as a shallow love? Well, I heard a lot of yeah all of a sudden. Somebody tell me about that.
I love my lover to put his hands on heels. That's a shallow love. I guess.
She said she loved her leopard, or her what?
My guest leopard print high heels.
Guest leopard print high heels.
I mean, but just in that sense, you can, like, or I love to swim. I know that's kind of a surface level love, but, I don't know. It just seems like that would be a shallow kind of.
Can we have that type of love toward people?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say you can have love for people, but as long as everything's going all right, or they're loving you back, or whatever, then it's okay. But if there's any trouble, then,
Oh, have you ever done that? I have. I've got caught up sometimes in only loving somebody if they loving me back, and that baloney that you, it's kind of easy to get tangled up in that some, but that deep love doesn't matter. That deep love's there. It's going to be unmoved, right? Jay?
1 John 4, 7 to
13.
13.
13.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit.
Love is that God sent his Son to die for us. Now we can possess, people that are not Christians can possess love, but not that kind of love. Because that love is rooted in a dying, in faith in a dying Savior. See a little bit of the difference? Joy. Don't go on up before you get to joy.
When you said about that deep love and that's unmoved, a little twist on that, you don't have that really deep love for one another or for somebody. I actually won't say it's unmoved. It can be shaken. That a lot of times when you have a really deep love and something tragic happens, I don't want to say it makes you question it, but you sometimes go through that, or then you go through the part of you then are even more confirmed of how deep it is. So I think it's unmovable. I think it is very, I don't want to say very, but I think it can be tested, would be a word.
I'm with you all the way. From God's perspective, it's unmovable. I've been shaken. I know what you're talking about.
When that happens, you choose to thrust your roots deeper and hang on tighter, or to be clipped off and fall over.
Okay, hang on to your root conversation. We mentioned that earlier. I got like 7 minutes. How are we going to do this?
We're not.
And one thing that I just realized is that when I get hurt, I hurt. And that's how I am.
You know, it's typical for people get hurt, they go hide. And that's, and Satan works through that, gets you off by yourself and he squashes you or tempts you, or so that's a good thing for us to be together and encourage each other. And kind of leading to our next thought, joy. Defined in the Greek as cheerfulness, in essence, calm delight. The King James Version says gladness. Use the term gladness. Calm delight. How many of you like to be stressed out? I saw somebody raise their hand. They didn't mean to. Isn't it a pleasure to be calm?
Joy, in my understanding, is more than an emotional thing. It is an attitudinal thing. I can have joy at the death of my best companion, not because they died, but because I'm still in Christ. And I can have greater joy if they were also in Christ at the time.
But primarily, in the context of what we're talking about, I'm with you. But joy is a fruit, it's a product of the Holy Spirit being in our lives, right?
Correct.
We can have calm delight when our world is crumbling around us. How do you explain that? I don't know, except for the Holy Spirit's working through that.
I think that's one of the reasons the Lazarus, when you ask how are you, you say good, because we have that hope. In the middle of everything that can be gone apart, we have that hope and joy.
We have that hope because we have not hoped in this life only.
I know, from my own experience, when I lost my first child, the comment that I made to people was that for about 6 months, I lost the joy inside. I didn't go to the extreme of falling into depression. I could still find happiness in things. Things could make me laugh. You know, I could still have moments of being joyful. But that real, true joy was gone for about 6 months. Just going through that grieving process. But it came back. And it came back strong.
And the next one that follows suit closely to what you're talking about is peace. Do you know, if you could harvest peace in a bottle, you would have something worth a lot more than gold or oil. I know that's hard to imagine these days. Because this world aches for peace. And the Holy Spirit provides us peace in our lives because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And then there's patience. You know what, guys? I don't have as much fruit in some areas as I do the other area. And I really have to stop and ask why. If I struggle with patience, and I do, that's real easy when you just cough it up. You don't got anything to hide. Why am I struggling with that? Brenda?
I'm with you here on patience. And I know why I struggle with patience. It's because I have expectations. And I put those expectations like on my children or on my husband. And then when they're not met, and sometimes they're not even reasonable expectations, but it comes back to self. Is why I don't have patience. That's my personal experience with it. It's something that I'm inflicting on other people around me, and it's because those expectations are going to do something for me. It comes back.
So are you resisting the Spirit in relation to that fruit in your life?
Oh, I'm sure so.
I'm glad you're saying this, because now I'm pointing a finger at you. I have to ask that question about myself too, Carol.
Well, I also, along with what she said, it's the control. I think when we try to control ourselves, we lose that patience also that goes right along with what she said.
Donna?
We try to control someone, you know, or the situation or whatever, you know.
You lose faith that everything's going to be okay. Woof! Has anybody in here ever struggled with some of these things? Okay, I got 3 minutes. I don't have any patience. Kindness. King James uses the word gentleness. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Someone mentioned that a while ago. Gentleness, that's the word meekness. KJV does a switcheroony there. And self-control. Imagine that. We might not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but we can clearly see His, is it effect or effect?
Effect.
Effect? I'm going to learn how to differentiate that one of these days, but that's not what it's not.
Effect is where E is a noun.
E is a noun?
Yep. If I want to affect something, maybe I will produce it.
I'm going to try to remember that.
There
we go. That was great. I really care. I never can get that. Our responsibility is to take care of the fruit. What happens to bananas if you bring them home, you take them out on the patio, you set them out there in the sunshine? Huh? They rot, and how quickly do they rot? Well, let me share it with you. It is quick. But if you take these bananas, they even make little things, a little hook thingy, where you hang it up and they get air around them and they be cool and all. If you take care of them, they last, right? I want to say that we need to take care of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And you know what? When I'm fighting the Spirit about this patience issue in my life, what am I doing? I'm falling short of walking in a manner worthy of my calling. I'm falling short of God's expectation in my life. And that should crush my heart because I'm not living up to what God wants me to be. But if I look at myself and I say, look, buddy, you're not being patient. Be molded. Be transformed. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Instead of taking control, see, that's what I am. I'm one of these take charge, you know, and to my detriment sometimes. And I got to pull back from that because you know what? When I'm trying to take control, I'm trying to kick the Spirit out, right? We don't need to do that. I'm going to hope that the Lord will stay in charge of my heart. So that brings us to Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and the parable of the soils. Who mentioned that earlier? Some of the seeds that got broadcast fell on what type of ground?
Bad.
Rocky. Some fell on compacted soil, and some fell on
shallow.
Some fell on good soil, right? So, you know, fruit trees, how many of you have fruit trees? Do you have to do anything to take care of those trees?
Wait a minute, you have to, you should you.
Well, my dad had an orchard and we had to do a lot of maintenance to take care of keeping the bugs off of them and all these things. We had to do a lot of things to help maintain them. And you know what? We've got to maintain the soil by which the tree of God is planted in our life, by which the fruit of the Spirit hangs on. You see what I'm saying? Because Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and what? Thrown into the fire. So here's one question. We got like 1 minute. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Tell me what that means.
Says what it means what it says.
Says what it means mean what it says. Good answer. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Are you, let me ask you, are you walking by the Spirit?
It's a daily thing.
It's a daily thing?
Talking about dying to self, and that is a daily thing.
It's walking by faith and not by sight. It's allowing God to have His way.
Are we aware, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, that the Holy Spirit's dwelling inside of us?
I think we forget it a lot.
Do we have our movement in this life acknowledging that? Making decisions based on that? Looking to that expectation in our lives? Or are you like me, sometimes you forget?
I think it means don't break the continuum.
Explain what you're saying.
Well, you followed us so long when I spoke.
No, I was
okay. It means what starts in the mind of God and is supposed to be enacted in our bodies and our decisions and what we think and what we do. Nowhere is that continuum or that chain broken. The connection between the mind of God and His will being accomplished through us. But there's often a point that breaks right about the time we're supposed to make a decision or take action on something. And then we forget to think by faith. We don't make the decision by the words of God because we're afraid, because we're proud, because we don't really believe that what God says is really going to be the better way. And we choose some other way of making a decision or some other motivation for what we're going to do. And that's where it breaks down. So Paul says, you know, your whole claim to life and your salvation, it's tied to the Spirit, which is the words, the personality, the mind of God. So walk accordingly. And it is day to day, but it means that the way you think about God, what He said, and how that affects you, doesn't get suspended when it's time to make a stressful decision. And that's easier done, but that's what it really means in my opinion.
How much does that apply to your life? Will it encourage you for the rest of the week?